Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Hey, it's the Hardline. Rock doesn't point to me when it's my turn. I don't know what his problem is with pointing.
What a jackass.
Unbelievable, trying to run a show. Hey, a real quick note. Cam's on hold, so I'll take 10 seconds. We were very excited a month or so ago when Mike Lewis out of Chaminade and other places like Duquesne and Nevada was going to be basically, not technically, but basically a grad transfer, a really terrific shooter and a good guy. He announced the other day that he was going to turn pro and not come back to SLU. Turns out he was not going to be eligible in the fall. And I think that when you think about all the hoops you'd have to jump through the NCAA and academically through the summer and into the fall, there probably wasn't the value there for him personally, and he's going to go ahead and turn pro, and we wish him well. Terrific guy, terrific player. He'll do fine. So the Billikens are back to 11 players and two scholarships left.
Most people recognize if you transfer, typically that all your stuff doesn't transfer
and
with
you. And he transferred twice in a year.
Yeah. So best of luck with all that.
And it wasn't really his fault because two coaching changes in a year.
Yeah.
He was at a place, coaching change, transferred, he gets there, coaching change.
That sucks.
So but he's going to turn pro and he's going to do great.
Join us now, Cam Jansen of the Cam Jansen Show, 6 to 7 p.m. every night on this here station, except for Friday. It'll be 5 to 6. Cam, I want you to do this interview just like the one you did on Channel 5 with Mike Bush last night for the first 25 seconds or so.
Perfect.
Nailed it.
Absolutely nailed it. You're a pro.
Dude, I was we were on there. That it wasn't just for 25 seconds. Like, we were standing there for a good couple minutes, I think. It seemed like forever. And you're staring into the abyss, into that camera, like, are you looking at me or not? I kept thinking that. But then I started drifting. I was in the moment, too. They're playing music. I couldn't hear anything. And I was just kind of drifting off, and it was pretty funny. But
it's a good thing Mike Bush and you weren't talking casually, and he said something about some guy you didn't like.
or even some guy you did like. Or some, like, say something to one of my buddies who was standing right there.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, hey, anything.
Give me an effing beer.
Yeah. Give me one of those things. Yeah, whatever the case was, it worked out. But that was hilarious. I started getting a couple tweets about that. But I tell you, man. It didn't matter because everybody's happy.
Yeah.
If we would have lost, something like that happened, oh, boy. But everybody's in a cheerful, good mood, and I was just, like, embracing the moment there. It was so awesome. I mean, people were partying. Like, it was crazy there. The atmosphere was unbelievable. I walked around the building, went underneath. I did, you know, we were kind of everywhere in the building throughout that game, and it just, gosh, it was so loud, and there was, like, a rumble throughout that game because it was just a high pace back and forth kind of game that we pretty much controlled the pace of, and the vibe was always in a positive, I feel, except for a couple of plays where they scored a couple goals, but we got the momentum back just like that.
Yeah, they got to start declining penalties. That would be very smart. Also, Cam, the 3 minutes that the Blues hemmed them in their own zone where Clifton had that 3 minute something shift, that actually came through the television. I was not at the game, but it was so loud. If you were only listening and you couldn't see what was going on, you would think they had just scored the game-winning goal. I mean, it was that loud. What was it like there inside the building?
Yeah, it was the place rumbled. Like, it was awesome. It was the loudest. The beginning of the game Saturday was incredible. The beginning of the game Saturday, everybody's for the first time seeing it. You know what I mean? Like, you haven't seen this in a long, long time. That was the beginning of that game was loud, but this was a steady buzz throughout that game, really because of the momentum. I mean, if they would have scored a couple goals, the place would have been dead just like that.
Yeah.
But we kept the pace, we kept coming at them, and everybody realized that. Everybody's watching the game. I mean, you're paying attention to the game because it's so stressful. You're not looking around. Everybody's watching the game, and the vibe kind of just you know, the pace of the game helped out that steady vibe that happened all game long. It was really cool to be there. Honestly, it was a great experience. And I go to all kinds of games.
Hey, Cam, you were in the building, and I wanted to just tell you what. And by the way, the great work you're doing here and other venues has been fantastic. But I really think, because we are always quick to criticize national announcers, I think NBC on NBC and on NBC Sports Network have really, really done a marvelous job. Whether or not we agree or disagree with any particular point a given an analyst makes is not really the thing. But the thing is that they're putting in the effort, asking good questions, offering great analysis. Really good job. I just want to throw that in as a side.
Appreciate that. No, it's, you know what, Rammer, I'll tell you this. It's pretty cool to go underneath and really, and Kate came by. Kate was next to me the whole time, so I got to take her underneath. And like when we're doing the interviews down there, there's so many people to – I see so many guys I played with back in the day to Bob McKenzie, to John Cherry, Rob McLean. All these guys are just walking past, and you're just like, hey, what's going on? You know, it was really cool. And the place is so jam-packed down there. And, you know, nobody's seen this. Like all the guys like from Caruso to on down from the Blues, when you walk into that building for pregame skate, you're like, whoa. Like, there's so many people. Everybody's coming out of the woodworks, and it's a cool scene to see. And, you know, it just kind of, you sit there and kind of get, and you're in awe for a long time to see all these heavyweights cruising around in the hockey world. Pretty cool stuff.
So the national guys, basically to a man or woman, mentioned the atmosphere in glowing terms, that it was really amazing. Give me a little bit more of just the feeling of the atmosphere in relative to other things you've been around.
Oh, you know, I can, well, the game 7 against Dallas. PJ, were you at that game or did you not go to that game?
I did not go. I watched it.
Okay. I mean, that was ridiculous. I would say on a consistent basis, that was the loudest I've ever been in really. There's a couple buildings that get really loud, maybe because of, you know, but I've never been in Enterprise Center. No one's ever seen that before, I don't think. I mean, this is the most important game in Blues history it really is. And everybody just had a smile, and they were just loud, and it was crazy, and it was incredible. I mean, it's just a cool, cool thing. And if things go the way they're supposed to go, or the way hopefully they go, without getting ahead of myself, but you've got to kind of look at it and be like, okay, best of three. Like, this thing could go down in a couple of days, but you're going to have to go up to Boston and steal a game. And Jordan Binnington's going to have to stand on his head. I am telling you, they will come hard and heavy and in your face. But they're banged up.
Yeah, they are.
They're starting to get banged up, TJ. We talked about this morning. We're hitting them, and we're hitting them hard. And you're talking about Sammy Blais. You're absolutely right on that, dude. Like, okay, Bass is playing this game. But he's crushing Blais because Blais taking him on, like, one-on-one. Like, you're matched up on lines together. Bass is – and now Blais is in this – every time he gets the puck, Bass is, like, looking for him. Every time, I swear to God, once you get hit like that, the way Blais hit Bass last game, once you get hit tagged that hard, he went dark there. You know, TJ, when you get
hard,
you're dark. You go dark and you get your mind back and you kind of, you know where you're at, and you figure it out, and then you readjust on the bench. He went black, and now every time he gets that damn puck, nine's in the back of his head. In the back of his head. And it just takes a toll on you, and you're a step behind because of it.
Nine. I don't know. Who in the freak is nine? Don't you have a name? Baby. Jesus Christ.
I mean, when I see the same play, I see the nine.
No, hey Cam, we were talking about how I'm not a numbers
guy. Is that
not his
number, or am I out of
No,
line?
No, you are.
No, no, you're fine. I'm the one that has the problem. There's no question about it. We were just talking about it before the break. When it comes to hockey and toughness, I always defer to you. But I made a statement earlier, and you talk about the Bruins with well-deserved great respect. But I am firmly convinced that 5-on-5, that the Blues are better than the Bruins. However, on special teams, the Bruins are so much better than the Blues that, to me, that's the difference. Am I wrong?
No. That's a huge difference, and that could be the difference too. Special teams could be the difference in this series. And we were okay when we take a couple last night. One was a shot. Somebody hit it over the glass. What was the other one? I forget. It doesn't matter. Discipline.
Stick? Was it a stick?
Yeah, high stick on Bowmeister?
Yeah.
Okay, that's right. It's like, okay, whatever. Two penalties, we'll take that. That's manageable. But once you get to 3, 4, and 5, again, you know, you see your Ryan O'Reilly out there that is stopping and starting for a minute and a half, taking shots off the ankle consistently from their power play that moves it around like no other. And it just wears you out. And now he probably couldn't get up in the play, that sick play that Petro made on the second, was the second, third goal. Maybe it was a game where he comes up, Petro comes up, waits, takes his time, waits for Ryan to catch up in the play, checks out the goalie. I'm going to try to go high on him, hit him in his shoulder because it's hard to grab those. It's hard. If you're hitting hard enough, like that thing is going to drop right in front of you. Although it's a ballsy shot too, because if you go high, it's going to wrap all the way around and go all the way down the other side. And you're going to be like, okay, now I got to bust ass and get back. But it worked out. But he did wait up, and Petro was straight up on his game last night. Controlled everything.
Really was.
He controlled everything. He was fantastic.
He was really good, as was everybody else. I was going to ask you about when you said going back to Boston, they're going to have high pressure. And they certainly are. We've actually the only time we've seen a team, and I think they were beat up, so maybe this plays in. San Jose in game 6, they had nothing. There was no challenge there. Blues took off, and that was that. But the Dallas game 7, obviously. Winnipeg game 5 was crazy, and then they had to out-duel them there in game 6. But last night, the last 10-plus minutes, they had one shot on goal, and they were desperate. But they were desperate without Grizzly, whatever his name is, and then Chara. So you and I talked about this, Cam. I did not see Chara speak a single word. That TJ. Screams broken jaw.
TJ, dude, he's eating out of a straw in April.
Yeah.
If I threw any amount of money on it.
Yeah.
That badass, though, goes in the locker room and puts that stupid bubble on and sits there, and you could tell he is just in horrible pain. And he can't cheer, and he can't talk to anybody, but he's just sitting there like a monster. And he's like, I got you guys. Like, that dude is a man. And if anybody out there says that, oh, the Bruins are better off without him, you're out of your mind.
Mm-hmm. And, Cam, you said that earlier in the season, too. He's been pretty good here. He's obviously a staple on the penalty kill, not that they need
he's
a lot of help there.
He's got his flaws, but overall, you need him out there. You could limit his ice and put him out there for penalty kill. You could use him when you need to use him. He is a force, and he's a leader of that team, and that sucks for them. Now, I could be completely wrong. I mean, okay, if it's a big stitch, you're still playing. If it's, you know, if you broke your jaw, you're staying in there. If it's a concussion, you're probably not coming back out.
Yeah,
they
wouldn't be on the bench. No way they won't let you today.
But if you broke your jaw and you could tell it's broke because your jaw lays in a weird spot, you know it's broken. I'm sure he broke his jaw before. Like, you know where you're at. And he put that bad boy on just in case a puck came and hit him on the bench. And he sat out there like a man. And you got to give him props for that. And I doubt he will be. If I threw money on it, I would doubt he's going to be playing next game.
Splashback Deuce says, congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. Cam.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know what? I will say this. A lot of people in that game, Kate and I were flying around cruising everywhere, you know, and people would just come up and congratulated us nonstop, so I thought that was pretty cool. So I appreciate that. You guys are listening. That was very nice. Kate was in just an unbelievable mood after that, so she loves that. So it's good stuff. And I like it, too. Fine. I like it, too. Okay?
Your cats are very upset that you didn't bring them. Jimmy D says, hey, everybody, it's Cam Johnson.
Yeah, they kind of messed that up too, didn't they? Yeah.
What was that?
Frank's so awesome, though. He called me. We're going to be doing all kinds of stuff these next games too. So I'll be doing that. Me and Mike Bush will have another one coming up here soon after all these games, and we'll get it right. And it's pretty funny, though. What if my butt? A million different scenarios could have gone down in that situation. You know, a million different scenarios. So I lucked out, and I guess Channel 5 did too.
there is a text from a totally unreliable website, and we could just listen. Michael Luciano It's 12 up, whatever. They usually take it. It's like an aggregate. But there's a screenshot on the text line, and I saw it as well. It is up at least one place that Chara has a broken jaw and he's out for the finals. I wouldn't put anything in that. No stock in that. It's not a reliable source or a reliable website. But there's at least one out there.
It's being reported by Christian Faria, who works up in the New England area, and he used to be a tight end, I believe, for the Patriots.
He did. So he's really the one reporting it?
Yes, he's the one actually reporting that. Like, Luciano cites Faria's tweet.
Okay. So,
but there is another writer who is disputing the accuracy of Faria's tweet already.
It only makes sense that he is, but the way that dude is, I mean, can you play with a broken – I mean, if it's shaking around like that and you get hit, I mean, oh, my goodness.
Well, Cam, we were talking about this. We saw where it hit him, right? If Vince Dunn has wired something up, it's his upper jaw, and that is totally different. That's not just dangling. That's set in place, connected to your skull, right? Your lower jaw there, good luck, right? You can't get it. He's going to be
Dunner
wired
was out
shut.
For 2 weeks still. Dunner was out for 2 weeks still.
That's
right. He might have had a conky, I don't know, but he used out for 2 weeks. So, and now he still has a mouthpiece in there. But I tell you what, that little son of a gun, Dunner, I thought he was going to be a little timid. Like, dude, when you get locked like that, man, it sets you back a little bit. He didn't give a damn.
Nope.
He's fine. He digs the doodles, a guy at center ice, and he comes down. He knows he self-chips it to himself. Does that make sense? Anyway, that's what he did. And he knew
kind
he
of redundant.
Hit. Whatever. He still took the hit, made the play, jumped around the guy, took another hit. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's in it, dude. He doesn't care.
Balls deep.
It's fine, man. He don't care.
Balls deep says Chara is half the man Dunn is, and I don't think you maybe watched the game. Dunn is 5'3", Chara 6'9".
Dunner's like 5'11".
Yeah, yeah, that's not quite 6'9".
Yeah, I mean Chara's a mutant, dude. I told you
a mutant.
He rides bicycles out with like Lance Armstrong's folks.
Jingoism.
Way out over in Europe, and he climbs mountains and stuff. Like, come on.
Cam, your worst nightmares. Nightmare says when Boston's going for the puck against the boards, they know there's a great chance they're about to get hit. So why don't they take a chance and just turn around at the last second and throw a freaking shoulder ride into the Blues player and knock him over? The reverse hit you're always talking about, Cam.
Well, they could, but when you still got to make the play.
Mm-hmm.
So like, remember I always told you about. I always when I was coming at a guy when I'm chasing the puck and I gotta get close enough to be able I can make a hit. Otherwise, if I don't get to that point, I'm just skating around in circles. You know, I'm looking like an idiot, and I'm not going to play anymore. So I really had to close that gap on some of these. That's what we're doing. We're closing the gap because we're keeping our feet moving, and we're in the right position. So we could take two strides, and now we're so close to where they have to make that play, take a hit to make the play, and they don't have time to brace themselves. And when they do that sometimes too. I mean, what do you think David Backes did to Sammy Blais? Yep. David Backes dumped the puck, and Blais comes. He's like, come here.
Yeah,
him with a reverse hit. That was a badass hit by back.
It was.
Cam, we only have just a moment left, so give me your 10-second answer on this. Do you think the officiating, this is Tim Van Gell, do you think the officiating will revert back to the ticky-tack stuff after this game? Seemed to let a few things go.
Keep your stick down. Don't hook. Don't slash. Don't trip. You're not going to get called. Don't shoot the puck over the thing. Don't interfere with the goalie. You're not going to get called. You can keep hitting. Hit. If you see the numbers, don't hit. If you see the numbers, ride the guy out. It is what it is. But they're not calling hitting penalties. Keep that up.
Mm-hmm. Recovering alcoholic says he thinks he saw you break Pauline's jaw, big boy.
Who's?
Pauline, Pauline.
Oh, Poulin.
Oh, Poulin.
Oh, yeah. Poulin.
Did you break his jaw?
Perhaps. I don't know.
And the 6'3", last one, Cam, as we get you out. Is Mike Bush 6'4", or was he standing on a stool? He made Cam look like the imp from Game of Thrones.
Did I look small next to him?
Mike's what, 6'1", maybe 6'2"?
Oh, God.
Just tie a bigger tie on next time, Cam. Just a bigger tie on.
I don't
all
like
right,
the big
dudes,
knots.
I'll see you guys.
Cam, later. Thanks, buddy. We'll try. We'll right, hear you tonight on the Cam Janzichar. It's Tuesday night, so you'll be in studio, yes? Cam's gone.
They are in studio today.
All right, good stuff. You just cut him off. Thanks
I did
for
not
nothing.
Cut him off. He cut you off.
I don't think that's true.
He's had enough.
Hey, hey, 28, can you and Zero help the old guy with the numbers?
That was the best text we've gotten the entire day. I was waiting to read that since he sent it in like 3 minutes ago. Can 28 and Zero help the old man with the numbers?
Well done. And picture me suggesting with hand signals that you are number one, sir.
Oh, just like Brett Hull did last night to the referee. All right, we got to go, boys and girls. Thanks for hanging out with us. Frank and Penny, a large morning show in the afternoon coming up next. And you guys have a great day. See you tomorrow.